Hi there, this is Pastor Christeline here from Calvary City Church, and welcome to our sermon podcast. We pray as you listen to the word today, it encourages you, inspires you, and launches you into the destiny that God has for you. May you always be found in good health, and may everything that your hand touches prosper. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning, Calvary City Church. I'm so glad this morning we can meet online. Thank you for watching this service through your Facebooks as well as the YouTube. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you. Raise us up as a generation of end-time harvesters. Even though we're going through this pandemic, help us not to lose sight of your command to make disciples, dear Father. I pray for everyone who's watching. Lord, today you will touch them in a very special way. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, into our respective homes. Transform our atmosphere. The angels of God, we welcome you to minister to us as well as the children who are watching this. Lord Jesus, minister to us throughout this service that the Father's will be done in each one of our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, morning church. Yesterday, Pastor Derek preached a dynamic message on prayer, which is so essential for us during this time of pandemic. I pray that you will watch it if you have not watched it, and I pray that you will be ministered to. We also want to extend our heartfelt, heartiest congratulations to Pastor Benjamin, also known as Sebastian, and to his wife, Rebecca. To the end, she was still leading worship upon the safe arrival of the baby boy, Isaiah Ari. Praise God. As he fathers the child, he will become truly a father to the church in Calvary City Church. We also want to thank both Brother Richard Yap and Dr. Manoj for preaching a dynamic message respectively on Saturday and Sunday on the Father's Day. We bless you guys. Praise God. You know, the last thing that I have before I preach the word, we want to extend our heartfelt condolence to Marcus Fung and his beloved mother upon the demise of the father. They have been recently coming to Calvary City Church, and we want to extend our condolence. I don't think many of you would know them, but if you want to extend your condolence, you could call Pastor Boy and get the number and speak to them. They are pretty new to the church. Praise God. This morning, I'd like you to turn with me to your Bibles, to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. I've ever made a statement to this effect. If you want Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 to be effective and to realize in your life, it cannot happen without Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. In order for chapter 1, verse 8 to become effective, you need to take a look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Both of these cannot be separated. With this in mind, you know, if you don't know what is Acts 1:8, please go back and read. Now, let's read Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now, Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution, not just persecution, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Against the church. And they were all scattered. They all were scattered. They were scattered in fear. They were scattered in violence. They were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, which Saul was directly responsible, and made great lamentation over him. Now look at the next verse. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. You know, havoc of the church. I don't know what can be worse, you know. Entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered, they were scattered in fear. They were scattered in panic. They were scattered in persecution, but they did not fail in their responsibility. It says here, they were all scattered, separated from family, and scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. How do you like that? How do you like that? So I entitled this short message. Preach the word at any time. Preach the word at any place. Preach the word at any cost. That's what exactly happened to the church in Acts chapter 8. If you look at Acts chapter 8 verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere, not hiding. Not hiding. Went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the gospel. And remember, Jesus said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 14, when the last days happens, when the world is about to come to an end, when pandemics and earthquake and famine begin to assault the earth, this is a form of judgment of God over the world, because the world is coming to an end. And Jesus said, you know, he said in verse 14, Matthew 24, 14, he said, and this gospel that you have learned, this gospel that you have heard, and this gospel that has brought conversion to you, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world. As a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Glory to God. So therefore, in line with our theme for year 2021, how will they hear? How will they hear? I like to preach a message in line with our theme. Our theme for year 2021 and 21 onwards, for greater evangelism, for greater harvest, and for greater revival, is Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 13, 14, 15, and 17. What does it say? Whoever, verse 13, let's start from verse 13. It says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, the name of Jesus by this time, through greater evangelism, has been saturated. Okay? And whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved, a greater harvest. And then Paul says in verse 14, how will they hear on whom they have not believed? And how will they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how then will they preach if they are not sent? Okay? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? You know, this is self-sending. You don't need a missions board. You don't need the board of the church to send you. And then it goes on to say, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring the glad tidings of good things. And then Paul goes on and says in verse 17, faith to be saved, faith to be delivered, faith to be set free. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. So therefore, church, Calvary City Churches, Pusatka Bajikan Calvary, Transformation Alliance in the various nations, don't be distracted by this pandemic. Don't be distracted. We need to be focused on the call that God has placed upon our lives, in line with the theme that God has given to all our churches in Calvary City Churches, including Pusatka Bajikan Calvary and Transformation Alliance. Remember the words of Jesus. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth, and your fruit shall last through eternity. And whatever you ask my Father, I'll give it to you in my name." Friends, the fruit that will last through eternity is the fruit of salvation. Come on, somebody say amen, please. So therefore, in line with our theme, the purpose of this message is, unless, this is the purpose, unless the gospel is preached, not read, not just through audio visual, not through multimedia, unless this gospel is preached, a preaching needs a preacher. Unless this gospel is preached, the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto transformation, unto reconciliation with God cannot be released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. That's why Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not tongue-tied. I am not ashamed. I am not intimidated. I am not fearful. For it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. How will they believe on whom they have not heard? For the Jews first, and also for the Greek. My goodness. And this is what God wants the church. The Lord wants the church to be mobilized. I'm going to give you two examples in the Bible in a short while. And I want to share with you a testimony. Many years ago, when they gave us the district of Baucau in East Timor, in one of the planning meetings, all the big guys were there, and they were saying the way to take East Timor for Jesus is through good works. They said, "We're going to start school." They said, "We're going to start homes." They said, "We're going to start a feeding program." But I told them, I stood up and told them that this is a wrong strategy, because a good education cannot transform a soul. You know, a good feeding program cannot convert a soul. Good works will just dress the physical, but will not address the inward person. Therefore, from the beginning, we have to go in to preach the gospel. Doesn't matter what the opposition is, because the gospel comes not only with the power of God, it also comes with the offense of the cross. People will be offended. They will be offended. It's meant to be like that. Meant to be like that. But they said no. But I said no. We're going to go. And you know what? 1 year down the road, we went to all the sub-districts from Baguio, Baucau, Burma, Baguio, Wenilale, Wamase. We went to all the sub-districts and started churches all over the place. By the time we brought, when we brought the church together, I preached there with Pastor Stan. When we brought the church together, we had to make a couple of trips. We had more than 800 people saved from all kinds of background. Are you here with me? With that, we started the boys' home and the girls' home. Now look at PKK, for example. Now PKK let me just give you the order. The order: evangelism, discipleship, and relevant to the community. PKK happened because of the church. The church did not happen because of PKK. So therefore, we cannot lose sight of preaching the gospel. I keep saying the whole gospel to the whole nation through the whole church. And all the others in Bauka, with due respect to all of them, they were struggling. The Catholics were coming against them, you know, doing the good works. Here we are winning souls and raising up leaders. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Unless you preach the gospel, the power of God cannot be released. Unless we preach the gospel, people cannot be healed, cannot be saved, cannot be set free. And that's the dynamics that I'm talking about today. We need to preach. We need to preach at all times. We need to preach at all places. We need to preach at all costs that the people will be saved. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. Now, let me just quickly give you two examples that are found in line with preaching the gospel. The first one is John, the 4th chapter, verse 39 to 41. This talks about a woman who had a bad social standing, the Samaritan woman. Let's look at the word. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because, look at the word, because. You need to come to that place. They believed Jesus because David Chong preached the gospel. They believed Jesus because Dr. James preached the gospel. They believed because Sister Ding preached the gospel. Because of the word of the woman who testified. Testified. How do you testify? You don't testify in sign language. She testified with the word of God's mercy and grace and forgiveness and prophetic utterance over her. And that word has got power, and it sinked into their soul. So when the Samaritans had come to him, then they came to Jesus. They urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. They stayed there, and many of them believed because of his word, not because of his lifestyle. They play a role too, but because of his word. You know, friends, I remember in my salvation, the schoolgirl that told me about Jesus, she just said this: Rajan, you worship your God out of fear of punishment. I worship my God Jesus out of love. And that word is so powerful. That word was so love-filled. It went right into the core of my heart and convicted me. Glory to God. And that word brought conviction and conversion. The second example is found in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 37. This is the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. As a matter of fact, when you read, you will notice that he was reading. While he was reading Isaiah, you know, the 53rd chapter, go back and read. God gave him conviction. Reading brings conviction, but preaching brings conversion. Glory to God. That's why we cannot be gospel tongue-tied. We need to open up and preach. All our parents, all our loved ones, our neighbors, and our colleagues, they need to hear your powerful gospel preaching. Let me read. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, Isaiah 53, preached Jesus to him. Look at that. Whoa! Preached Jesus. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How will they believe if they did not hear? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach if they are not sent out? Glory to God. Can somebody say amen, please? Is that wonderful? Come on, in the next 10 minutes. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to share with you what is the urgency to preach the gospel. What is the urgency right now? What's the urgency? Come on, friends. If you don't know the urgency, this is why you need to preach the word at any time, at any place, at any cost. I'll give you three urgencies. Number one, this is harvest time. Come on, this is harvest time. I'm talking about souls that are white for harvest. This is harvest time. It's not coming, it's already here. People are awakened spiritually, my friends. This pandemic has contributed to the core values of their lives to be re-examined. People are slowly being set free from materialism. People are being slowly set free from being greedy. People are slowly being set free from wanting to have more. They know this coronavirus has dealt with everyone, the big and the small. And people's hearts are broken and they're contrite. It's harvest time. And Paul looks at Timothy, the young upcoming preacher, like the second level leaders that we have in all our Calvary City churches, dynamic young people. And I tell you, if the church is given to them, and as we mentor them, the church is going to go to the next level. So honor the second level. Don't look at them and say they're young. They're not too young for the gospel of Jesus. My friends, Paul looks at Timothy and tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 5. He says, Timothy, my son, preach the word. Being ready in season and out of season. In other words, preach the word. And when you are prepared, preach the word when you are not prepared. Preach the word when it's convenient. Preach the word when it's not convenient. Preach the word when you have reception. Preach the word when you have opposition. Preach the word. And he goes on to say, convince, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and teaching. But you, my son Timothy, be watchful. In this pandemic, be watchful in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. I want to say this to every Calvary City Church members, young and old. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry, glory to God. If you're sitting there and praying, what is my ministry? This is your ministry. You don't need a prophet to come and tell you what gifts you have, what ministries you have. The immediate ministry that you have is do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And I tell you, this gospel, Paul tells us, you know, Paul tells us, Jesus says in John the 9th chapter verse 4, he said, I must do the work of him who sent me while it's day. And it says, the night is coming which no one can work. Friends, I tell you, once Jesus comes, it is nightfall for this world. It's just a matter of time. The world is wound up. So when the night comes, so therefore, this gospel is not valid in eternity. You can't preach the gospel in heaven. It's not valid. You can't preach the gospel in hell. It's not valid. It is so valid. It is full of potential power of the Holy Spirit on earth. It's filled with the power of God. In the little that you would speak, it has got the power to convict and convert. Hallelujah. So therefore, while you have the opportunity, let's preach the gospel. My friends, time is running after me. Number two, what is the urgency to preach the gospel? Number two, the gospel, look at me, the gospel without a preacher like you and I is another religious indictment. It's another religious instruction. It's another religious doctrine without the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. The preacher is the one who acts as a bridge between the gospel and the sinner. And as he begins to preach the gospel, he becomes the flow. He becomes the channel of the flow of the resurrecting power that would convict the person, that would transform the person, that will reconcile the person to God. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. So therefore, you need to value your position in preaching the gospel. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 16, Paul says this, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity has been laid upon me." In other words, he says, I'm compelled by the call, love of God. I'm not compelled by my call. I'm not compelled by my function in the ministry. I'm compelled by the love of God. And he said, woe to me, terrible unto me, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Those who don't preach the gospel, you hinder the power of God flowing through you as a channel to the people that you come in contact with. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Now time is running up to us. Let me just give you the third point, why it is so urgent to preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel on the face of the earth brings great delight and rejoicing to God in heaven. You know, preaching the gospel is a rejoicing and delightful factor to the heart of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go back and read the three parables in Luke, the 15th chapter. You know, friends, why does it bring delight and rejoicing? Every time you preach the gospel, you obey God. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. It's not a choice. It's not an option. But it is a command. It's a command. When you major in a command, you abound in the blessings of God. When you major in the command of God, you abound in the blessings of God. If God chose not to use you, he can use the angels. But because he wants to be glorified through you and he wants you to be blessed, that's why you are a gospel channel. You are a gospel speaker. You are a gospel preacher. You are a gospel person. Glory to God. What is a great commission? And Jesus said in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19 and 20, he said, Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you until the ends of the earth. My friends, as I said earlier, this is the best time in the history to win the lost. This is the best time. This is really the best time to win the lost. You know why? Because the world is torn and tattered by this pandemic. People are more open than before. People are ready to hear the words of comfort. I've often said, you are not people without a congregation. You know, you don't need to come to church to look at a congregation. Your congregation is your loved ones. Social distancing is only physical. We can pick up the phone and tell them about the mercies of God. the grace of God in your life, they're all interconnected with the gospel. They will get convicted and then they will be converted. What about your neighbors? The act of kindness. I tell you, I've warned my neighbors with the act of kindness. What I grow in my garden, what I grow in my garden, I share with the people around. Act of kindness. And that's the point of contact. What about the people that you work with? Many of us are working online, but surely by end of this year, we'll go back to our working place. This is a tree congregation that God has placed in your hands because he has trusted you that you are a Christ ambassador, that you will not abuse this congregation that's in your hand. Don't wait for others to reach your congregation. You have to reach, like Paul said, woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel to my loved ones. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel to my neighbors. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel to the colleagues. And I pray, Father, today as we hear this message, Lord, we pray, not just praying, but help us to go. Help us to go and mouth this gospel, that the power of God can be released through us. We ask you one thing as we are listening to this message. Give us the boldness, Lord, to step out of our inhibitions and tell someone that Jesus loves them. And Lord, help us to reach our loved ones. Give us the zeal. Instead of just praying and waiting for someone to go and bring the gospel, help us to bring the gospel to them. Likewise, the people that we are working. Father, I just pray, before we can produce conviction, let conviction of the souls come upon us. For this day, the Lord will have this known to you. I'm preparing you as a platform for greater evangelism, for greater harvest. And when these two are combined, a greater revival is set to take place. A revival has never happened without the conversion of souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch us, Lord. Renew our hearts, Lord. Give us burden, Lord. Shadarava Sunday. Hikoboroto Sita Rata Sita Sita Sita. Hikoboroto Sita. I cannot, I don't want to move those words from us. And give us the conviction to share your love, your mercy, and your grace to people who are surrounding us. By end of this year, we want to see at least, Lord, at least five people saved in this three congregation, our loved ones, our neighbors, and our colleague. We thank you. Thank you, dear Father. Let faith arise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In a short while, we're going to serve communion. And I encourage the leaders of the home to quickly prepare your communion. Can you do that right now? Okay, holding the cup and the bread in your hands. Thank you, Lord. Let's ask God to bless the cup and the bread, because this is prepared by us. And we want God to sanctify it, first of all. Number two, we want God to bless this. That's why we're praying for the emblem. Father, we thank you for the cup that signifies your precious blood. Lord, sanctify the cup, bless the cup. We pray for the bread that signifies your broken body. Sanctify it and bless it. Let this communion be an honor to you, Lord, and bring blessing to each one of us. Families that need to be healed, families that need to be reconciled, individuals that are looking for direction, purpose. Let all happen, dear Father. In communion, it's actually in personal intimacy with you. Flesh upon flesh, blood upon blood, life upon life, and the healing upon healing. Bless this cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 right up to 31, the night when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples, he took bread and he gave thanks to the Father and he broke it and gave it to the disciples and he said, "This bread which is broken for you signifies my broken body." And Jesus said, "As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me until my second coming." And the Bible tells us very clearly in In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment of our peace was upon him. And by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Let's eat this bread as a family and let healing just flow. Like manner, then Jesus took the cup and he gave to the disciples and he said, this cup symbolizes the new covenant that I made through my blood. The covenant of forgiveness, the covenant of grace, the covenant of newness of life in Jesus. And Jesus said, as often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me until the day I come. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, purchased by the blood of Jesus, through the forgiveness of all our sins, according to the manifold favor or grace of God. Come on, let's drink this cup in the fullness of faith, knowing that we are in communion with Jesus. Let's drink this cup. I want you to put your cup down. Lift up your hands to Jesus wherever you are. Father, we thank you. I just release your blessings upon each one who's watching this, and I declare prophetically and apostolically that you are blessed, you're highly favored, you're saved, you're sanctified, you're healed, and you are set apart for greater things that are ahead of you. For this day the Lord will have this known to you, I have kept you in my hands. And you are in the shadow of my presence. Lord, bless them, those that are sick, as they go to the healing room, as they go to the visitor's lounge. Father, I pray the leaders will begin to minister to them. And soon the church will be physical, will be able to minister to them. Thank you. We commit all of them into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to the close of this service, your screen will show the places where you need to go. Scan the QR code, go to those places. And our pastors, leaders waiting to minister to you. And last week, I got a testimony. Jeffrey Ryan prayed for Henry Goh. He's watching this service right now. Henry has got cancer. And I received a call from his friend, BK. And he said, Pastor, the scan shows that the cancer growth has shrunk. And Henry is so excited. You see how important it is to be prayed for, releasing a prophetic word. Please visit. And also remember, at 7 o'clock today, we have a couple coming to lead us in prayer. Thank you for joining us online. There's nothing else we can do. We are at the mercies of God. We need to pray through this pandemic. God bless you, and your greater days are ahead of you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's sermon. We trust that you have been blessed. For more sermons like these, do log on to our church website at www.calvary.com.my. Have an amazing week ahead, and may the abundance of the Lord fill you this week.